We should like title this like 30-minute intro or something like that, just to like people a general idea of what they're walking into. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 515 of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast, presented by Overdrive. This is Jill. Hello, Adam.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It has not been a productive day.
No, it hasn't.
We're recording this on Inauguration Day, so it's been lots of CNN watching.
Yes. I sometimes forget. I was telling this to our coworkers, Sydney and Tiffany, the other day. I was like, I forget sometimes that like I have the option to go sit on the couch and work while the TV is on. I'm so used to doing it at my office because I'm more productive, but That's also an option though, is going and putting on MSNBC and
I same thing. Like I could put it on and I always forget. And then like on days like today, where I'm like, oh, I'll just sit here and watch him speak and answer emails if I have to. Because of all of the things happening in the world, we asked you, the lovely listeners, over the past week or so to send us potential questions you had for us. There are some, I will read some of these fantastic emails and stuff that we got throughout as we go. But just a heads up for people, we're not doing book recommendations today. Neither of us could think, we were both off.
I mean, they might come up in conversation. Who knows? But
they'll be organic. Like we were both off Monday. Jill was off Tuesday for some house things. Today's Inauguration Day that we're recording this. You're going to hear it on Thursday. So we're going to answer some of your questions because a lot of you are interested in our pets and the drinks that we enjoy and lots of other unrelated book things. It was very sweet because a number of people reached out and were like, I actually like when you talk for a long time
not
about books. So if you are explicitly listening to this podcast only for book recommendations and not for our lovely personalities, that's okay. We'll catch you next week.
We should like title this like 30-minute intro or something like that, just to like people a general idea of what they're walking into.
Oh my God, that's so
30-minute intro and no book recommendations. Like that's
That's probably
what this is going to be.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll just put this all together and then I'll just do the intro music at the very end.
There you go. That's actually not a terrible idea.
That's so funny. Okay, so I compiled a whole bunch of questions that we got from people and we're just going to kind of go through these. There's a few, I'm going to point out some lovely messages we got from people that I think are going to be future episodes, just so that you don't think you're messages have gone unnoticed. So let me go through those real quick and then we'll get to the actual questions. So Roxanne wrote in, who is just lovely and we have both interacted with many, many times on social media and via email. And what Roxanne had to say was, as I'm pull this up, zoom over, you both seem to have a really healthy and fun relationship with food and enjoy cooking. So I was wondering if you made any meals, snacks, or drinks that were inspired by books that you read or book food cocktail pairings. That would be really fun to hear from a whole episode. I think we're going to talk about like the maybe snacks that we have while reading thing today, but I really love the idea of food or cocktail and book pairings. And as I think I slacked or told Jill, she doesn't know this yet, she's probably gonna hear it in real time, we're just gonna make Mallory maybe do that one with us. So if you're right. Mallory,
yeah, we could just do like a whole like cookbook episode. We've never done that before, but
true. And that would go along with one of the requests that we got, which somebody asked if we can make sure that we're doing different Professional Book Nerds Reading Challenge task episodes. That's one of our tasks, and we will do that. So that was really lovely. Also, Roxanne said, thank you too for all the positivity books, suggestions, and laughs, especially this past year. You're appreciated more than you know. That was very sweet. We got another message with the name I think I may have removed. Good job by me. Hi, Adam and Joe. I just started listening to your podcast a few months ago and love it. Listening has helped me get through the pandemic, so thank you. along those lines. I love apocalyptic and post-apocalyptic books, but disclaimer, only ones with some hope at the end. My favorite is Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. I read somewhere books like these have been called hope punk. Have you ever talked about hope punk books on your podcast? I'm curious if you consider it a genre. I definitely consider it a genre, and that may end up being an episode because I really like that idea.
Yeah, I've never really had heard of hope punk as a genre, but yeah, I'm sure we can find stuff to talk about with that.
Yeah, but that definitely was one I feel like will take some research, because I don't want to just I don't want to tell you to read an apocalyptic book and be like, pretty sure there's a happy ending at the end, and then there's not. I would hate to crush spirits. That would be sad.
I mean, if I recommend a apocalyptic book for you, that's probably not a happy ending, just as like a general rule, so I'll have to do some research for this one.
Yeah, probably more likely get a happy ending from the apocalyptic book that I recommend as opposed to one I recommend. Somebody said, can you guys offer starter packs of your respective wheelhouses? For Adam, for example, maybe some badass lady pirate books, and for Jill, a couple murder mysteries in schools, etc.
Fun fact, actually, if you go to the Overdrive blog, I back in the fall, there are two separate blog posts. We can link them in the notes, I'll be sure, if someone wants to, if they care that much, or you can just go. But there are two blog posts I have written that feature those types of school murder mystery type, like dark academia type books. I think there's probably between the two blog posts almost 20 books. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't remember for sure.
I think that was the one where Geely Siegel, one of the co-authors of I'm Not Dying With You Tonight, like tweeted at you like how she also is right there with you on those.
Yeah, but the first one, and she was like mad, like jokingly mad at me because of all the books she'd have to buy. And I was like, well, you know, I stopped myself with one. I'm going to write a second post.
Yeah.
And then she also got mad at me because I specifically, like, when I wrote the second one a week or two later, I was like, hey, Geely, look.
Yeah, you added her.
There's more. You're welcome.
So funny. So those are on its blogs at overdrive.com, but I'll put a link in the show notes for those. Someone else asked, can you discuss books set in countries or states you'd like to travel to? I think that's going to take some thinking.
Yeah.
But I like that one a lot. And then someone also, what are some of your favorite health books? And then they mentioned, Jill, specifically your interview with Jessamyn Stanley about everybody yoga. Yep. And I think we can do an episode of health adjacent, health related books. Lots of good stuff there. And then, or here's some questions we will answer today. We'll just kind of go down the line. First one, so many people want to know about our pets, which makes sense because we're a pro. Somebody specifically was like, the pets of Overdrive and books related to them. And we can do pet related books again at some point, but for now, let's talk about ours. So, Jill, you have four cats. Tell us about your four cats.
I do have four cats. Two of them are quarantine cats. My cat Chloe is, I got her when I was in grad school. She's like 13, 14 years old. She's a tortoiseshell. She's got that tortitude. If you are a cat person, you understand that. My cat Linus is, it's a thing. Fortitude.
I just love it so much.
Linus is a tuxedo. He is 12. He's 12. Okay, so he's 12. So Chloe is 14. So Linus is a tuxedo. Fun fact, he is named after the character Benjamin Linus from Lost, played by Michael Emerson. Benjamin doesn't really make a good cat name, but Linus does. So those are my two cats that I brought into my marriage. We had two other ones that unfortunately were my husband's that passed. And then back in April, we adopted two more cats. Again, they are quarantine cats. Mm-hmm. If I ever have to go back to work, it's going to be a struggle because they're used to me being home all the time. Zoe is a tabby. She still doesn't, it's been almost a year and she still doesn't fully trust us, but she got lost. I think I talked about this on the podcast where she got lost. I think after we found her, I talked about it. She got lost in our house for 3 days. shortly after we got her, and I found her in a kitchen drawer.
Amazing.
And she was not happy. Yeah, so she, it's been a rough ride with her. But so they were a bonded pair at the shelter, and the other one is Zelda, naturally named after Princess Zelda from The Legend of Zelda. And she's like a long hair. She's really pretty. She's got, she had to have like eye surgery before we adopted her, so she's got like one wonky eye. And she's the one, like, if I go back to work, it's gonna be a struggle with her. Like, if I have to go back to the office full time, it's not gonna be good. She gets like, she loves me to a very intense degree. Sleeps curled up next to me, and she gets jealous of other cats hanging out with me, even though like she came in after the other ones. Oh, she's 9. We adopted her. She's 9. And then Zoe is 2. So those are our 4 cats.
Nice. I have 2 dogs. The oldest one is a 10-year-old Weimaraner named Holden. He is a old grump. He has been an old grump since he was like 2. You know how just some animals, like my other one who I'll talk about in a second, is 8, but he's still very much a puppy. Holden has been a grump forever and ever and ever. He is very much he's like a show dog. I have a Weimaraner and a Vizsla. My Weimaraner is bred from I think a line of show dogs. I don't know. We got them both from farms who happen to have the type of dog that we got. So they weren't like specifically breeding. They just happen to have a number of Weimaraners. And then if they ever happen to have litters, then they sell those litters. So that was really important to me, because I never wanted to go to like a puppy mill of any kind. But I did want a Weimaraner, and he's wonderful. He's my first dog ever. Like I said, he's 10. He unfortunately about 4 months ago was diagnosed with blood vessel cancer, which is apparently a thing that is common in Weimaraners. So my dog is taking very expensive Chinese herbal supplements every single day. But he's doing great. He also, over the past 2 years, has had, speaking of eye surgeries, he had surgery on both of his eyes. Again, perfectly fine. Ironically, I'm talking about him right now. You may hear a dog barking downstairs. That is Holden. He's very loud. And he has what I jokingly call koala claws. He has very long toenails because he will not let us clip his nails. Other dog who you've heard us mention. Oh, his name is Holden. His name is not from Catcher in the Rye, which is a running joke in my family because I hate that book. He is named after Holden McNeil, who is a character in Kevin Smith's Chasing Amy, which is one of my favorite books, which will actually will be a part of a question that I think that's coming later as well. My other dog is an 8-year-old Vizsla named Remy. He is, if you've never heard of a Vizsla, but you know what a Weimaraner is, a Vizsla is basically a red Weimaraner. Big floppy ears. They are bird hunting dogs. We do not hunt with them, but he was raised on a farm. Well, not raised. He was born on a farm, and apparently his line of dogs that he came from was hunting dogs. So he is definitely one of those dogs for like when I owned a backyard, he would literally hunt squirrels. And if I have him on a leash, he will like hunt other dogs, like do the whole like walk slowly and freeze in like a pointing position. It's very cute. He's extremely cuddly. He's like I said, 8 years old and a forever puppy. Just endless energy. He is not named after anything in particular. I just like the name Remy. I guess technically there's an X-Men Remy LeBeau, which I think is Gambit, but that is not what he's named after. So yeah, those are my dogs. And we'll be sure anytime we bring on other people from the office, we'll just specifically have them talk about their pets when we introduce them, because we haven't done that quite enough. So those are our pets. We did get asked our preferred snacks and drinks while reading. Do you, Jill, have snacks or drinks that you lean towards when you are reading?
Snacks? Not really. I guess I don't really snack while I read. Drinking, like, you know, coffee.
Yeah.
Should I drink? It's a lot of coffee.
I was thinking about this too, because like it's the same, like I do a lot of audiobook listening in the morning, and of course I have coffee then, and it'll just like, it's like transitions to tea at night, I think, but there's no real specific snacks. I know the Reading Glasses gals have like a whole thread and multiple episodes, and I think they have a one of their Slack channels is all about snacks, and like that is something. Yeah, I also I guess I don't make like it's not like a ritual for me for like reading. It's just kind of I read right when I can.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just talking like snacks in general, not so even reading, like I like popcorn. Who doesn't like popcorn? You know, like chocolate covered peanuts. I'm a big fan of the chocolate covered peanuts, like Goobers, but also the kind you can find just at like grocery store. Yeah,
there is a I'm a huge pretzel person. There is a type of pretzel called Dots. I don't know if you've ever had them. I got them at Heinen's. They are pretzel sticks, though, like thin pretzel sticks, but they are flavored and they have like almost like a Southwest, like a sea, like a Southwest salt on them. They are lovely. They are the type of snack that will get on your fingers to kind of rinse them off, you know.
That's fair.
So if you're listening to an audiobook, not a problem, but if you're reading like a physical book, that can be an issue. I just bought a ton of Girl Scout cookies from my niece.
Oh yeah,
that's been a real problem.
Yeah, I do like trail mix. Sometimes I'll just like make trail mix with that's like a good reading snack. I'll just sort of like make my own trail mix with like whatever nuts or dried fruit we have. And then I did make a whole bunch of Chex Mix over the holidays.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up over the holidays. I made candied nuts, which shockingly easy.
My husband made some too. Yeah, they're really good. Yeah.
Yeah, you just take like one or two egg whites and you beat it, and then you just mix it up with whatever spices you want. I use like nutmeg and sugar. And then you just toss it all on the nuts and you toast them for a long time, and they are just delicious. That's a good snack. That's one of those snacks though where I could like mindlessly, because they're nuts, like I could mindlessly eat like 4,000 calories worth of candied nuts immediately. They're delightful. But yeah, the cocktails thing, I don't like make any specifically. Usually I'm just drinking a lot of bourbon.
Well, yeah.
Especially now.
Lots of bourbon.
Yeah. So Jill, are there any movies that you enjoy about books or writing?
One movie I love is Shakespeare in Love. And I love it because if you know Shakespeare, there are so many allusions to Shakespeare lines in Shakespeare in Love and like Shakespeare movies. And I also just love that Dame Judi Dench won an Oscar for like 2 minutes on screen.
Oh, she's the best. That's awesome.
So I do like me some Shakespeare in Love. You know, we have like talked about Pagemaster. I know Pagemaster has come up on this before.
Pagemaster podcast.
Never Ending Story is about a book. You know, that has also come up on here. Misery, of course, is very like meta because you got Stephen King writing a book about somebody writing a book, and like in the Misery book, if you have not read it, you know, the character Paul Sheldon's being basically held hostage and has to write a new ending of his recent book series because his crazy fan is not a fan of what he did in the book. But the typewriter she gets him keeps breaking, and so like letters are missing from the typewriter. And as the story progresses, you know, you read these typed pages within the book, and like the letter keys are missed. It plays a lot with format, which I really like.
I will add, so like I said, my dog is named after Chasing Amy. Chasing Amy is it's a Kevin Smith movie, and it's technically about some people who create comic books. Ben Affleck's character Holden McNeil and his partner Banky are comic book creators, and I love it. His movies feel very much like books a lot because he is so heavily dialogue focused. I will say Chasing Amy, who was written and created in the early 90s, it plays fast and loose with some gender identity slurs, so that's not great. That part did not age very well, but I do enjoy that. Finding Forrester is technically a book or a movie about books. I like Sean Connery's character, who I think is supposed to be J.D. Salinger. I can't get away from Catcher in the Rye right now. Like, he's supposed to be like a J.D. Salinger type, where he is a very reclusive older man who wrote a book that was very, very famous, and he didn't ever want to go out in public about it. There was that Johnny Depp movie about a book that was like the Devil's Bible, 13th Gate, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't say that's a good movie, but it's one I enjoy. Then there was one more that I can't. Oh, with Princess Bride, which we talked about last week. That's technically,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same thing with like a Neverending Story. So yeah, those are just some of those. Somebody else asked, what styles of books / formats do you enjoy? They specifically mentioned your Daisy Jones oral history enjoyment. Are there other styles other than oral histories? I know you are currently enjoying an oral history, I think. Or did you finish that book?
I've not finished it yet. Yeah, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. I'm gonna have to look it up now because I cannot remember the exact title. Yeah, The Final Revival of Opal and Nev is another oral history about musicians from the 1970s, so sort of like Daisy Jones. Yeah, I love me oral histories in like any, not just books. The Ringer does a lot of oral histories. Right before we started recording this, I was reading a Donnie Darko oral history up on The Ringer right now.
Oh, man.
I just love oral histories. I just love oral histories. I don't know if there's any other sort of formats. I like reading plays. It's pretty much all dialogue, which I think you can learn a lot of writing craft from reading plays if you're struggling with dialogue, because that's all, you know, you have to go on. Mm-hmm. Pistolaries are always fun. The letter writing like type stuff. Pistolary. Yeah.
I will say when I'm reading a book in the moment, if it is one that jumps between timelines from chapter to chapter, in the moment, I'm usually annoyed because I'm like, just give me one timeline. But what I always end up realizing at the end of a book is I actually like it when you see how they tie everything together, and really just kind of trust the reader. There was somebody, I think it was Catherine Locke on Twitter, who is a past guest of the podcast. They discussed The Starless Sea by Aaron Morgenstern, which is one of my favorite books. And what they said about that book was they enjoyed it because Erin trusted her readers. The first maybe 100 pages of The Starless Sea jumps seemingly to unrelated entirely stories. And you don't know what's going on, but Erin kind of, it's like a implicit, like, hey, trust me. Mm-hmm. This will all make sense. And it does. And so I think I really do find myself loving those types of books where the author knows, like, hey, stay with me. You're going to understand. So books that are maybe intentionally vague at the beginning and then slowly unfold themselves. Those I really enjoy. And then as I've talked about, like Wendell Berry and stuff, like this isn't really like a genre or format, but just like books that are about a small moment in time in a small place. I really enjoy, whether it's like a singular relationship or a singular small town and a thing that happens there outside of like huge galaxy changing events. I like those kind of small moments.
I do like books about books where like the book is in the book.
I did a terrible job describing
it. But I talked about Fangirl last week, and Fangirl, you know, she has before the actual Simon Snow books, before Rainbow wrote those, in Fangirl, there are snippets of the Simon Snow books as like chapter headers or section headers. And then also like Misery, where you're reading the book along with Annie Wilkes, The Blind Assassin by Margaret Atwood is a book about a book. And again, you get like pieces of this story within the bigger context of the actual book that you're reading. And it's always interesting. Like, it's one of those things where I'm always curious, like how much, if you're just giving snippets, like if the author is just giving snippets to the actual audience in the final book that is produced, how much do they have that they didn't put in? You know what I mean? Like, if Rainbow Rowell was able to create Carry On and Wayward Son, like, clearly she had a lot of this world building built outside of the book that we don't see in Fangirl. So that sort of thing is always interesting to me. And I like reading those books. Like, I like getting that sneak peek of a book that's mentioned within a book. It's mm-hmm. very complicated. It's very Inception-like.
Something else I'm finding that I enjoy is we are obviously very big in Jill and I on discussing diverse authors and diverse topics and diverse books and the importance of approaching those types of stories and reading them and loving them. But the more and more diverse books and stories I read, what I really love is reading books from diverse authors where a specific diverse aspect of them is part of the story, but it's not the entire story, because I think that lets them extend. I get just like a good example of this. I'm doing a really bad job of explaining it, so let me just try and use a specific example. I am reading Detransition Baby by Tori Peters. Tori Peters is a trans author, and the book, as you might imagine, features trans characters, and it's all about their relationships and all these things. And the fact that they are transsexual is, of course, important to who they are, but it's not all that they are. And I think that's really important for all stories. I love when the author writes about a thing, and like when a African-American or a Black author writes about a Black person, but it's like, I am Black and that partially defines me, but it is not all of who I am. And I love, and I think that helps people understand that, like, I hate when people are just like, read books by Black authors because the characters are Black and that makes them different than you. Like, yes, that's true, but also you can get these stories and realize that you're not always so different and all these different things. Just, I think I'm doing a poor job of describing this, but when an aspect of diversity isn't the only thing that makes you want to read a book, I suppose that's how I would say it. I hope that makes sense.
It does. Right. I would just clarify that you said, I think you meant transgender, not transsexual.
Both, actually. Oh. They are both in the book. I apologize. Okay. You are correct. Yes. Thank you. Yes. 100%. We misspeak sometimes, and I think that's mm-hmm. okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right. A unrelated book question. Actually, sorry, we'll get to that in a second. The next question is, how do we remember what books we've read?
I have a spreadsheet that I get updated. Every year. I mean, it's like at this stage, it's like a work, you know, like a, I don't know what they call them when it's like not just a single sheet, like it's like a workbook of spreadsheets basically, where each tab is a different year. And I just write down what I have read. I used to try and like keep track of what date I finished reading the book. Then it got depressing where I'm like, I haven't finished a book in 4 months. So I don't even pay attention to that anymore. I just list the books and the author. When it came out, the number of pages, although pages, like I mostly read on eBooks. And so I think I usually will just go to Amazon and look up what the listed page number is, because it's an eBook. It changes depending, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I, in the past, have used Goodreads. This year, I'm using the StoryGraph, which is similar, but just kind of like less in your face. I mean, I do definitely have moments where like I'll look at a book and I'll stare at it for a second and be like, I think I read that. I usually have a pretty decent memory of it, but what I did actually, I realized I did a presentation this week for a library about like books that I enjoyed over 2020. And I noticed that while I have a really good memory for remembering what a book is about, I have horrible memory about characters' names. So I was like, so there's two sisters in this. And one of them is a cop, and the other one is, and like I would spend 3 minutes talking about a book and I would never say a name of a character, because I
have that problem too. It always would crack me up when we were in the office and we would have any of our like content specialists come in and they would bring notes, and I'm like, oh, you have mm-hmm. notes to read from, that's how you remember all of that stuff. And I'm just like, it's fine, I don't need notes. Mm-hmm. I don't need to remember character names. It'll come to me. It never comes to me.
I'm horrendous with names. I would have to think about the names of the characters in the book I'm reading right now, this detransition baby. It's Reese and Ames are the two main ones. Couldn't tell you anyone outside of those two unless I'm reading the book itself. So, but yeah, I wish there was a more fun answer other than like Jill's spreadsheet and me using like said the story graph. But
I mean, we do. I put them on. I do also put them on Instagram on my personal one. Mm-hmm. So other people know what I'm reading.
I will say a nice thing if you use Libby is there is like your reader journey or like it basically will show you. I'm actually just going to pull up in real time. You can tag books that you've read. That's a fun way to remind yourself what you have read. But if you are on your shelf and you scroll down, there's actually like a recent returns that will show you all the titles you've borrowed. You can see all those. So that's nice. That's another way to do it too. One of the last questions we got here, what are our interests outside of reading? Jill, what are your interests outside of reading?
Well, if you've listened to this podcast enough, you probably know I read tarot cards. That's not reading like book reading. So I'm going to clue.
Yeah, reading. You're good. It's
a different kind of reading. Yeah, I read tarot cards. I've been reading for like a year and a half now. And so I do my daily card pulls and I have a journal and I'm mentally in my mind. I have a notebook where I'm doing like a Mad Men themed tarot card deck. Not that it'll actually go anywhere, but for my sake, it's helpful. We both write, obviously. I watch.
You can promote your actual books, Jill.
Okay, so this is the part where I'm terrible at.
You're so bad at this. You're so bad at promoting yourself.
I'm so bad at promoting myself. So I have published two memoirs. Running with a Police Escort is my first one. It is about being a slow runner in the back of a pack at races. That came out in 2017. Reading Behind Bars is my memoir about being a prison librarian. That came out in 2019, which seems like forever ago. And I am currently, I just turned in updated draft to my agent of my romance novel.
Do you have a ballpark date for when your romance novel is going to come out yet?
No, because she still has to like submit it to publishers. We're still in that like mm-hmm. editing before it goes on submission stage of things.
Gotcha.
So
yeah, and then like you said, we're both writers. I am drafting out. I'm at like, I think I hit 68 or 69,000 words, so coming along on a kind of YA new adult type of a book. But I also, I'm a distance runner. So spend lots of time outside, ran my first marathon during the pandemic all by myself, my brother-in-law. It was awful. I'm never doing it again unless it's a part of an actual race. Cause you don't realize how much like that race environment atmosphere helps. So distance running, I'm a big home chef. I try to cook every dinner from scratch. So I get lots, and we'll do, like Jill said, we'll do recipe books and stuff, but there's lots of really fun food blogs and things that I very much enjoy. One of my favorites is Half Baked Harvest. She actually has a couple of cookbooks, and I think her family is originally from this area. Cocktails. Quarantine, I've gotten like big into, there's a YouTube channel called How to Drink, which is like exactly my aesthetic. The guy is he's never been a bartender, but he like loves the history of cocktails, and so he talks about the history and then he makes cocktails, and like the guy himself is a video editor, so all of his stuff looks really, really sharp and clean and crisp, and he has like jazz age music as his background music, and like everything is just so, you can tell that he even knows, like even like sonically, like the cracking of ice, and like he knows what sounds mm-hmm. to focus in on. And then he'll do like seasonal things, like he did a bunch of like Christmas vacation related eggnogs, and he's done so. I've been getting pretty big into cocktails. Do you want to talk about your lovely Animal Crossing?
Oh, that's right. I play a lot of Animal Crossing these days. That's right. I do play video games. Obviously, my cat Zelda is named after, like I said, Legends of Zelda. So I am a big fan of Breath of the Wild. And yeah, I've been playing a ridiculous amount of Animal Crossing. I can't remember if I mentioned this last time we talked about this on the podcast, but if so, sorry. My sister started playing Animal Crossing back in November. And I started playing on Christmas, and she came and visited my island after I'd been playing for maybe a week or two. And she's just like, look at all the stuff you've done. I'm like, I don't have a 3-year-old like you do. What do you think I do with my time? Mm-hmm. I'm done with work and I play Animal Crossing. Yep. I have time to build my island up and have like all this stuff. Yeah, I play a lot of Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I the same thing. I don't have children. And so people will ask me, like, how do you make a scratch dinner every night? I'm like, I don't have kids. So I throw in an audiobook and I spend an hour and a half in the kitchen making whatever it might happen to be. Yeah, if I had children, it would be like, what can I quickly
do? Very different. Yeah.
Exactly. So neither of us have children, and so we do have the freedom. I'm also a new gamer, really. And then of course I'm a reluctant Cleveland sports fan, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I have been all my life. I'm a huge Cleveland baseball team and Browns and Cavs fan, as much as they like to hurt me. I was given that passion by my father, and I have it still. So
I do collect Funko Pops.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, they're actually, if you've attended any of our live events, you have seen them in the background, because my desk, you've seen some of them at least. There's mm-hmm. a very small portion of my collection. I'm trying to like look up, I have an app where I keep track of everything, because of course my collection is 80. I have 80 items, Funko Pops in my collection. It's a mix of things. There's a lot of Baby Yodas.
A lot of Baby Yodas. I can
see my husband bought me. Right now. Yeah, my husband bought me all the Baby Yodas that are currently available. So I have like a Star Wars shelf. I have Doctor Who. I have all the Mad Men ones. In case you've not picked up on it, I really like Mad Men. Speaking of drinking, like I bought the complete set of Mad Men on DVD because, it's like it was on Netflix for like a decade streaming, and then the contract was up along with a lot of other shows, right, like The Office, and so they moved. And I'm like, you know, these things could all like stop streaming at any time and I would not be able to watch Mad Men. And I have a couple seasons on, like, I've purchased through Amazon Prime TV stuff, but I'm like, again, that's sort of just like a license, like they could also go away at any time. So I ended up buying the full DVD set finally, and I forgot it came with like glass tumblers. Like I bought the fancy version. I have like there's like coasters and yeah, like glass tumblers for my bourbon and whiskey, like Don Draper. That's and awesome. I bought the Mad Men cookbook. We can talk about the Mad Men cookbook too in our cookbook episode. I like Mad Men, so I have all the Mad Men ones. I have Labyrinth. I have a whole mix. Mm-hmm. a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a little bit about us, I guess. We will obviously get back to real book related things. I think next week will probably, if I'm doing math correctly, I think next week will be February.
Yes. Books.
Yeah. And then Monday is an episode, Jill did an interview with Courtney Summers, which is fun.
Oh man, y'all, it was so much fun. Just as like a preview, it's about her book, The Project. We spent 30 minutes talking about Jonestown and cults.
Yeah.
You had that to look forward to.
That was very Jill. So yeah, that'll be the night. That's the next week of episodes. Like I said, we'll get back into actual book recommendations, but thank you guys for sending in questions and stuff, because it gave us something to talk about that wasn't book related in a week when neither of us admittedly really want to talk about books. So that was very helpful. You can always find us on Twitter and Instagram at ProBookNerds, email us at ProfessionalBookNerds@overdrive.com, or find all of our episodes at ProfessionalBookNerds.com, and you can do searching for any books or authors or genres, and anything we've talked about related to that will pop up in the search bar. So anything else you think people should know about?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's start the show. So, hope you guys enjoyed this 30-minute intro on the Professional Book Nerds podcast.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Adam Sokol and Jill Grunewald, and presented by Overdrive. For more information, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.